Welcome to the Figure Fit Lifestyle Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Nierswicki, international best-selling author of the book Happy, Healthy, Fit, founder and owner of Solace Yoga Studio, Solace Yoga School, and Figure Fit, the worldwide online personal training program. I'm a single mom, Paleo Fit Score female champion for 2014. I am a self and soul love expert, entrepreneur at heart, a visionary and a futurist. I'm also a mentor. I am so grateful that you are here. Each week, I'll bring you a special guest or an inspirational tip that will help you break old patterns, find that inner motivation that will help you take action towards creating the life of your dreams. You didn't come here to play small and watch others live amazing lives. No, you are divine, my godly friend. The universe wants to shower you with an amazing life filled with happiness and soulful connections. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Figure Fit Podcast, where we discuss fitness, paleo nutrition, yoga, meditation, spirituality, and other ways to have a happy, peaceful, and abundant life. And here's your host, Liz Nierswicki.
All right, everyone. Today, my special guest is Christy Arnett. Christy, how are you today?
I'm amazing. Thanks so much for having me on, Liz.
Oh, you're so welcome. I can't wait to dive in and learn more about you and have you share your journey with my listeners.
Great.
Yes. Yeah, so let's just get going. Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and what's hot on your plate right now?
Well, right now I am... you know, just sort of transitioning out of my past life as a poker player, poker interviewer, and producer. And I also host a podcast, and now I am coaching as well. So, you know, it's just been kind of a crazy ride of pursuing new dreams, and really it's been awesome to join this community of podcasters and have people be inspirations like you, who you're a serial entrepreneur and a coach. And so, you know, it's just been a crazy ride so far, changing careers and taking big risks. And it was really all started, you know, about 3 years ago with a very big life event where basically my husband and I were in a really tough spot. And it was a situation where I got the opportunity to look at the things in my life that weren't working. And one of those being the way that I took care of my body, the other being, you know, the fulfillment I had in my career, and just an overall relationship with myself that was affecting my relationship with other people. And when I started to take a deep look at those things and really get on a different path, I realized that this was my passion, and that's what I want to continue doing for the rest of my life, not just for myself, but for other people. So yeah, that's kind of like the overall overarching story of my life and where I am right now.
So you heard the call and you woke up.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. That is my work. That is my life's work. And I call this, now you are walking the warrior's path.
And I like that.
Yeah, it's not always easy, is it?
No, and it's not pretty. It's not perfect, but it's worth it.
It's so worth it.
Absolutely.
So I love that because now I'm actually kind of got goosebumps because I'm like, I'm geeking out. It's like my soul is going, this is another one. This is another universe synchronicity, Liz, where the universe just aligned me with the perfect person to talk to. So these are the kind of experiences and moments that really make my soul sing because make me know that I am exactly doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And you got to love those confirmations, you know?
Yes, yes. And sometimes I worry that this way of thinking maybe sounds magical, maybe sounds too hippie, or just even like delusional even, or something. Like I worry about that when I talk about these signs or these confirmations from the universe or whatever. But if you really look at what it is, it's a choice to view the world either as magical and amazing and happening for you or against you. And which would I rather have? Obviously, magic happening all the time, just saying, yes, Liz was meant to come into your life and to interview you, and you interview her, and you guys just mesh together because we both have this way of looking at the world that in every setback, in every just, it's just all of that is just an opportunity. So yeah, I love that. And I love that you get excited about that and have, I mean, right now I feel like exactly what you said, like I am a warrior walking down that path, and I pretty much feel like a badass right now. Thanks.
I love it. Good. Well, you know, to kind of touch upon something that you said, I've read the book A Course in Miracles a couple of times through, and The Course in Miracles really is about shifting your mind from fear to love, from judgment to love or acceptance, from hate to peace. And when I really first started to get into understanding my mind, I was starting this book around the same time that I started my meditation practice on a daily basis. And the very first time I got a glimpse of what my mind was doing when I was just simply putting makeup on, it was a huge aha moment. It was a huge light bulb that went off in my life that said, holy shit, you're delusional. Mm. And the Course in Miracles says that when we are living in our heads and not in our higher self, the spirit self, we are delusional. So you are right. Life is a big delusion. And it's, what, how many people are on the planet? 7 billion people? There's 7 billion delusions happening, and or you can call them illusions, and everyone is creating their own world from their own internal perceptions of the world that they're making. So what our eyes see is what we accept, but true creators see an internal vision first, and they put their feelings into it, and then it manifests and it creates in their lives. And that is what all spiritual teachers have done and did, is they believed it and therefore it became true. You have to believe it first or it will never come true. So it's okay to be magical thinking, because you know what? You're delusional one way or the other. So like you said,
so true.
It's so much better to be delusional towards the things that are great and the things that you do want and the creation of the life you want, rather than just being a byproduct of what you see, because that's the world that's already created, right? And we want it to be better. We want to also be in the peace. So I could totally keep going down that road, but I won't.
No, I love it. And I think that book is, I mean, it's a life changer. So if anybody hasn't read it, I would highly suggest it. And the exercises that go with it, they just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. It's within the first 20 days, you notice a huge shift in your own mental aspect of how you think about life. So what we're talking about is The Course in Miracles. And it's a fantastic book. And whether you are religious or not, you know, it's really a great way to look at your thought system and see the kind of driving force that is behind your every move. And that's critical. You know, I think for you as a poker player, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does. And yeah, I had a hard time. I was like, what is this, like a Bible? I didn't understand it at first. And when I could get past that and look for the deeper meaning, and that God didn't have to be what what we usually think of as God. We can call or replace that word with universe or whatever we want. But really, in that, this was, you know, I discovered that book during that time when I was shifting the paradigms that I had seen the world with for the first 27 years of my life. And one of the first exercises is that you scan your horizon, what's in front of you, and realize that you are giving meaning to everything. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at what kind of meaning I gave to accomplishment, success, what people thought of me, what I thought a perfect marriage looked like, what I thought a perfect body looked like, I was stunned at how much judgment and how much negative perception I had put on a lot of things that was causing me anxiety, stress, and outwardly, my health was better than it had ever been. Like, I looked the most in shape I'd ever been at that point, but I was having headaches. I was losing my hair, and it was all from stress, and I was unhappy. And every time I thought about food, I wanted to pull my hair out because it wasn't what I wanted, or I was wishing I was eating something else, or I was angry with my husband who's eating a pizza and has a six pack still. You know, I was just like, this isn't the way that I want to live. And it was all because of the value and placement I put on what I perceived to be perfect. And right. It was torturous for sure.
Right. It's a really amazing when we learn. And the thing about it is some people never know. And so our work that we're doing is so important because we are literally helping to shine the light on this in the world. And it is the most important work. Like I said to you, you woke up, you heard the call, and you are now, as the Course in Miracles says, a teacher of God. And some people call it a miracle worker. But also the Bible says this too, that this is our purpose, that we're here to serve. We're here to bring people home to who they truly are. Mm-hmm. And it is critical for us to wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's why I admire the work that you do so much, because one of my core beliefs is that if we are not in pursuit of a healthy lifestyle, mind, body, and soul, then we are essentially cheating ourselves and those that we love around us. Because the way that we feel about ourselves, our body, our health, whether we have the energy for the people we love, that is what life is. We have one life, one body to live it with. And it's not just a personal, selfish pursuit or just about us. It's about our futures and the happiness of those around us. So I just love that you come from a background of yoga and business and health and all of it put together to create something for people that everybody is looking for. I mean, when I did this, you know, I've coached a couple of leadership teams, and everyone is meant to pick their own three goals in whatever areas of their life they want, whether it be business, family, health, relationships, spirit, whatever. And every time I coach a team, every single person has a health goal. So this is it's so universal. And I just think that the way that it has been done, mainstream, is just not helpful. It's not helpful because it doesn't address the issues that we're talking about, the way that we see the world and all of these things. And it just is this sort of like topical fix that's on the outside but never gets down to the core of the things that are causing us anxiety or unhappiness around fitness. And so it's so important that, yeah, like you said, that there are people like us who have this passion for educating and inspiring and showing people that there is a different way.
Exactly. Thank you so much. That's very nice of you to say all of that about me. I really appreciate that. And I feel that we have, there's a path to all of it. There's a path to our life. There's a path to awakening. And it is all about choices that we make along the way. I recently had my 20-year reunion and seeing a lot of the people there. And some, really just like two people in particular, just really looked so unhappy. And they were totally blitzed out of their mind. And it was, you know, it was really actually sad to see for a lot of us. We spoke about it afterwards because they're two people that we really cared about in high school. And, you know, it hurt our heart to see them this way, to see that for 20 years that maybe perhaps they have not made the best choices for their highest good. They just, you know, I call it numbing out. They turn to alcohol to serve their problems. And, you know, that is really hard to see. And there are people in the world that may never hear the call or just don't, you know, they just kind of ignore it, you know, and choose to struggle. And I don't think they realize that it is a choice. You know, the warrior's walk is not an easy walk. And I think sometimes we make it harder on ourselves. And if we can just, the work is important though. The work is so important because it doesn't just come to you. I do so much alignment work every single morning. If I don't do it, I'm flowing in my ego. I am flowing in the way of the world. And our higher self does not operate in the way that the world operates. It just doesn't. So I've realized that. And there is work to be done. And on the path of yoga, non-attachment is a huge part of the beginning stages of the path of yoga. And it's really detaching from your expectations about everything and just being present. How often do we hear that, right? Just to be present, to enjoy where you're at. And there is really so much work to be done around quieting the mind and getting yourself to that place of being present, of being in the now, so that you can feel what it feels like and you can experience the peace of it. But it is work, and we can't numb out and expect to get there. And we also have to remember that you know, our own desires are not necessarily a bad thing, but they can pull us out of it. So we have to be very cognizant of always aligning every day. That is something that I've learned is the most important thing that we can do multiple times per day. And in the beginning, it's a lot. So, you know, it's funny. I have so many reminders on my phone to little things like, hey, be present right now. You know, little things like that, that just like snap me back into the moment. Like, where are you now? Where's your mind right now? And I think that's really important. So why don't you take our listeners on a little journey about your own revelation and really what it looked like for you and maybe some of the struggles that you had, but maybe even some of the epiphanies that got you out of it.
Yeah, sure. Well, first, I love that you use your phone as a reminder to be present when many of us have our phone as a way to, like you said, numb out. And it's, you know, it's just an example of how anything can be used for good or bad.
Yes, you know? Totally. You're so right. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so, yeah, and actually this is kind of funny because I had this epiphany just a couple days ago in the gym of all places to have like this life just discovery of who I am and what's been holding me back. And I just love that it happened in the gym, because usually it's all about, you know, pumping iron and listening to good music, you know.
Exactly. So
one of the things in my journey of self-discovery over the past 3 years is that aha moments can come at any time. Just like we get to just be aware of that we don't need to judge. It can happen wherever. And one of the concepts that I had been contemplating is this idea of what Tony Robbins calls, he's like, we have two universal motivators as humans, which is we try to avoid pain and we seek pleasure. And the our stronger motivator is to avoid pain, but that we all have different frames of references for what cause pain, like not just physical pain, but emotional pain too. And, you know, so like my friend, he is a relationship coach. He calls this the question that we're asking all of ourselves all the time, which is how do we survive or thrive in this moment? So if you really think about it, in every moment, we're just really thinking about, you know, is there something that's going to hurt me, or do I need to avoid something, or what would be the most pleasurable thing to do at this point? And I was working out, and I had done a couple miles on elliptical. I did upper body. And on the way out, I was thinking, you know, I didn't really get enough hard cardio in. I'm just going to jump on the treadmill. So since I decided I was going to do 1 mile. Okay, so that's not too long. I should probably go really hard is what I'm thinking. So really hard for me, since I hadn't done cardio in a while, was let's try to do an 8-minute pace. So I get on the treadmill and I tick, tick, tick. I tick it up to 7.5, which is the 8-mile pace. And immediately I am like a little bit out of breath and I'm regretting this decision. I'm regretting like saying I'm going to go this hard. So all of the thoughts in my brain were saying, just slow down. It's not a big deal. Like, what are you training for? You're also in Reno. I was in Reno at the time, Reno, Nevada, and it's a little bit higher elevation. Maybe the oxygen's not really reaching my brain. I should just really slow down. It's not a big deal. And because I had been contemplating this concept of avoiding pain and seeking pleasure, I realized that my brain was telling me that it doesn't want to experience this pain or what it perceives to be like coming up. And when I was like, okay, I'm aware, I'm checking in with my body, I'm checking in. Actually, I'm not super out of breath yet. My legs aren't that tired. It's okay, Chris. You're like actually fine right now. So I decided I'm running and it's like 0.24 or whatever miles. I'm like a quarter of the way through. And I'm like, okay, think deeper. Why is your brain telling you not to go hard? Why is your brain telling you to quit so soon? And I promise I'm getting somewhere, because this is like an overarching theme in my entire life that I
No, I totally get where you're going. Keep going.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay. So so I go deeper and I'm like, man, why? Why did I want to quit so early? And I realized this because I was uncertain that I could keep up that pace for the entire mile. And even though I wasn't tired in that moment, it was the uncertainty that I was really, really afraid of. And when I think about how I usually run on the treadmill, I go really slow at the beginning. And when I know that it's almost time to stop, then I'll speed up, because I can see the end in the distance, but I can see it and I know I can make it. And there's that element of certainty. So I allowed myself to just really go there. Like, what? Like, I was afraid to fail, and I'm just in the gym by myself. Nobody's going to know or judge me, but it was so strong in me that I was afraid to fail. And all of a sudden I just heard myself, my inner voice, or it could be the universe, it could be God or whatever. It was just saying, it's okay, Chris, like, don't worry. It's okay. Just go as hard as you can for as long as you can. And if you have to quit before the mile, it's going to be okay, but just see how far you can go. And then I look down and it's like 0.5 miles and I'm like still going and it's starting to hurt. And I'm just thinking I start to panic. I'm like, but I might quit early. Like, what am I doing? And it just was such a crazy experience seeing how much I panicked. And then I even thought about how I approach anything in my life, which used to be like my relationships, the things that I've started in poker, in business, and the things that I've quit. And what I realized was that I will go to a place of certainty. I know I can start a podcast. I know that I can play a certain limit in poker, which, you know, I was just wasn't taking risks. So, or I know that I can just like, I don't know, just when I just think of like these risks I take, it may be risky for some people, like starting a podcast or whatever, but it wasn't risky for me. But the risky part is pushing to a place that I don't know is possible. I've never done before. And I'm thinking of all this stuff, this existential stuff on the treadmill. And all of a sudden I realize I'm at like 0.85 and like I can do it. And then I sped up at the end and I finished the mile. And I jump off the treadmill and I'm just dripping in sweat and heaving and my whole body hurts. And then I look up and I see the reflection of myself in the mirror in front of me. And I'm just like, I have like this stupid grin on my face. I'm like, oh, but I look happy. And then so to round this all up and to tie it in a bow, basically, I got to reframe the avoiding pain and what pain means to me, because the heaving of my lungs and the tired jelliness in my legs is pain now, but equals growth. The fear I faced when I thought that I was going to fail and did it anyway and allowed myself the space to fail grew me emotionally. And I had this, so I'm just like sitting on the treadmill just being like, oh my God, I just discovered like this huge secret of my life that I've been afraid to push past this certain threshold because I'm afraid to fail. Because, you know, and we can go back in any lessons that we learn about ourselves and the way that we see the world, it always goes back to something that we experienced when we were young. And one of those things for me is I had a tiger mom. And so failure to me is scary. It's like the most pain, emotional pain that I could ever experience. And so that's what I have been avoiding and not risking. And so long story short, I discovered that this is a theme in my life. And for, we can use anything in our lives basically to discover these things, whether it be health and fitness. You know, when as you go in and set your goals, like what holds you back, it probably holds you back in other places in your life. So I really encourage people to, when they listen to your podcast or when they read that book or when they go into the gym, whatever they're pondering at the moment, be open. Be open to whatever that moment in your life that has to teach you. Because now I feel so powerful, and you know, I felt a little bit like intimidated to talk to you and come on this show, but part of what I'm doing, what I think is so important, and the discoveries I've had in my own life that have led to huge strides and accomplishments and things that I love come from this big vision and come from these small triumphs.
I love it. You're so, it's a great story. And I love how you are pushing yourself through those dips is what I call them. And that simply really just kind of being aware of something that another teacher is teaching, Tony Robbins, the avoiding of pain or the seeking of pleasure. Now you're cognizant of it. Now you're aware of it. So for you, it was like, hey, this is almost like a little game, right? It's like a little mental mm-hmm. game. Let's see how I respond to this. And then you utilized it in terms of fitness. And like you said, it can be used in so many different areas of your life, of where your old stories are keeping you stuck and where you're allowing yourself to move forward and past those, which is absolutely critical. And I believe that the physical stuff, the physicality of our body, and it's something that you kind of said something about this earlier, like I go deeper than just that. Well, we all have the body, and I think we all go through this time where it's really body awareness. Do I like myself? Do I not like myself? And the body is the most tangible thing that we have. I mean, we're in it. We're using it daily. So we have no other choice to be fully aware of it and to love it or hate it and have to deal with it, right? And have to work mm-hmm. with it. So it's just this, I look at the body now that I've been coaching people for a while with physical stuff as elementary, because the mental work is harder and it is a bigger game changer, because you can work out and run. And I used to run myself in circles and be so stupid about my behavior before I was really cognizant of my mind, because I would have a goal and then I would, you know, have Doritos in the house, and I was paleo, and I would just, oh, the Doritos are calling my name. So I'd eat them, and I would then eat too many, and then I would feel bad. So the next day or that day I would do another workout, or the next day I would just go run. And it was seriously just a treadmill of death, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you're not stopping anything. And it wasn't until my meditation practice started that I became super aware of all of my habits. But I'm an avid reader. I read probably a book or two a week, and I'm always focusing on learning something. So my work over the last couple of years has been the mind, habits, thought control, spirituality. And, you know, that's the depth of what I'm learning, and also what I'm realizing, that it's the most important work that we can do, because the body to me is elementary. It's like, oh, once you have your mind down and you know what your triggers are, then the bag of Doritos isn't even going to haunt you. I have a bag of Doritos in my house right now because my son is here, and he's like, can I please have these? And I was like, yeah. And in the past I was like, no, you know, I can't have those in the house. But now they can be here and I'm not triggered by them like I used to be. The mental work is just so critical. So I'm so happy, Christy, that you're doing that, because you're on the right path and you're doing the work, and it is the most rewarding thing that you will ever do.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, you know, going a little bit further into that with your work now, what are some of the things that you love coaching and love helping people with?
One of the things that I'm really passionate about is relationships, and relationships that people have with their significant others, because I feel that it is such a, it's also another avenue to discover all of the things that we are searching for outside of ourselves, within ourselves. And having been through such a tumultuous time in my almost 12-year now relationship was probably actually one of the best things that ever happened. And so when people are, you know, just what's really on my heart right now, especially after having spent some time with someone who is very close to my husband and I, he's a relationship coach, who really advocates the practice of honesty, and honesty through conflict, because it's something that we all experience. We all experience conflict with our family, our friends, especially our significant other, but it's always a conflict that we have with ourselves as well. Because whenever we're looking at other things to make us happy, like a significant other, and we say, man, if they were just more driven, or if they were just a little bit nicer, or if they were paid more attention or listened better, it's just crazy how all of the things that we're looking for in them are just qualities that we know that we should have ourselves. So in relationship, I think it's just such a great teacher for, like I said, the things that we're looking for and who we want to become, and using that as a way to reach our potential. So that's one of the biggest things that I am passionate about. And I have also spent, you know, the last couple of years coaching emotional intelligence, which now is such a broad term, because it can include meditation. It can include many of the lessons that yoga has been teaching for, you know, for hundreds of years. So EQ, though, I think is also a great way for people who don't see themselves as yogis or don't see themselves as meditators, as a way to learn empathy and emotional control, and a way to just really learn about how managing and being aware of others' emotions and our own can benefit our lives. And really, it's the same thing as meditation and yoga, though, but it is the single biggest driver in success across all domains, not just health and fitness, like you said. But you're right, if we can have this awareness and control over this part of our mind and our emotional states, I mean, the sky is the limit for what we can achieve.
Absolutely. It's so critical. I mean, you said it. You're 1,000% right on that.
And especially in relationships.
Oh, I mean,
the biggest emotional triggers ever.
Oh my God, right? But life is our classroom, and relationships are our assignments.
Mm-hmm. So, I love that. And the people who trigger our emotions, especially the trigger of anger, those are especially our teachers.
Yep, exactly. And to see that, to own that, to embody that is so important. What people really need to understand is that the world is really our mirror. And for a long time, I was like, wait, what does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? How is this person my mirror? No, they're not. They're so not my mirror. Yeah,
totally.
And I would be like, I would fight it. And I was like, and then it was like an aha moment. I was like, oh my God, I get it. It's mm-hmm. because like whatever I see, whatever judgment I place upon someone, any situation, any event, is because it's in my own head.
Yes.
And it's my own judgment upon that person, my own judgment upon the situation. And so that's why life is our mirror, because we cannot possibly know everything and have every single guiding circumstance, knowing all things. Like, we really, who the heck do we think we are, right? We just don't. So our judgment only keeps us stuck. It only keeps us hidden and small and unable to hear that, I call it the spirit or the voice of God, you know, that is the true download that we need to hear. You know, there was about a week ago, I was sitting in a meditation and I was really anxious and I was really frustrated and I was blaming in my head, but I knew that no, this is a two-way street and I have to go chill out, right? So I went and I sat in my meditation and it took about 10 minutes, maybe like 8 minutes into it, where almost it felt like a switch, a blanket of peace just came over me and my perception shifted and it went from blaming to, no, Liz, you're the one who's wrong here. You're seeing this so wrong. And it was like, oh my gosh, the light was shined on my brain. And it was such a beautiful moment of, you know, what the power of meditation can do. And that, you know, sometimes we think we're so right. We think we're so justified in our emotion, in our feelings, in our reactions, and in the way that we think it should be. And that's where it is. And then, you know, it's like, this is why life is a mirror, because what I was putting out is what I would eventually get back, because it's the attack thoughts that I'm putting onto the world. And if I don't change my internal stories and I don't seek that higher truth, then that's the hell in which I'm going to experience life.
Yes. And I love what you said, because it reminds me that because I can understand that for myself, whatever I'm seeing in them is just a mirror. It's something like if I am blaming someone else or upset with somebody else, it's something, it's because it's a trigger in me, because I see it in myself. Or, you know, that just reminds me to know that when someone else is, like, for example, if I'm at a restaurant and I decide to order something really healthy and someone's like, ugh, you're so healthy or whatever, or puts that on me, it has nothing to do with me. It's not personal. It's not, it's their own thing. And I think that's an important distinction that once we make about the way that we see things, that we can also protect ourselves, knowing that it's other people's stuff that they're putting on us.
Oh yeah, it always is. And that's, I think, one of the hardest things to learn. I really do. Yeah. Because for so long, and when you get it, when you really get it, you're like, ah, wow, this is peaceful. Because you really, truly realize, like, it doesn't matter. Nobody's judgment matters, you know? It really doesn't. Even your own significant other, because it's still just their own judgment. And it doesn't say that you need to, like, you know, A, you got to keep your circle safe and trust the people around you so that you can trust their judgment, because there are people in your life that will keep you grounded, that will keep you safe, that will keep you stable, that will keep your head out of the clouds, and that's needed. But at the same time, just because somebody has an idea of what they think you should do or who they think you are does not mean it's true, because your soul is on its own journey. It's on its own journey to experience and to expand. And some of those same people that we're so close to keep us small sometimes, you know? And so it's really, really important to, my tagline is live your soul's truth, honor it, know who you are and live it, and really tune into your truth every single day so that you know who you are. And I'm going to back up because I almost said this earlier and you said something about fear and... You said you had a little fear of coming onto the show today. You were a little bit intimidated, but you also said that it is the moving into those things where you expand. And
yes,
it's so true. That's where your expansion comes from, is moving into the things that, you know, and we see those things on Instagram, like what you fear is only got you in shackles or whatever, and or move into the things that you fear. And there's a difference between a fear that is like life threatening. Those are your instincts. You will feel that. You will know it. And there's a book on that called The Gift of Fear. It's written by an old, I don't remember the name of the author. And I actually haven't finished the book yet. But it's really all about honoring the instincts that you feel around your first hit of fear, especially when it comes to your personal safety, because you're always right. Now, other fears of, I'm afraid to talk to this person because they might judge me. Now, that's the wrong kind of fear, because that's the fear against your own soul. And it's never right, because we're all equals.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And it's, you know, it's a pattern that I've noticed and acknowledged of my own, of comparison, or, you know, because I was like, man, she's got her podcast. She's been doing this for so long. She's got so many podcasts done already. Her website is so amazing that why would, like, maybe she wouldn't want, or whatever. And it's just that those thought patterns that have, that try to keep me small. But, you know, when I can be grounded in the gifts that I have to share and the purpose that I have for my own purpose in the world, then that helps me move through that fear.
Yeah, definitely. It's so true. And you have a purpose. Everybody does. And it's so important to own it. So thank you for sharing. I know that's really tough sometimes for people to be vulnerable, but I also feel that it is such important work for us to move through those vulnerabilities and to show up for ourselves, and you did it. And so I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And it is the thing that I ground myself in no matter what I'm doing, which is, you know, my purpose here on your show is, of course, to provide value for your listeners. That's, you know, that's number one. But number two isn't to make people like me or whatever. It's to just tell the truth, whatever it is. And that was the truth.
I love it. Yeah, that's awesome. So I would love to have a little bit more insight about who you are, a little bit about your past and like some of those powerful lessons that you've learned that really have like shifted you. Any like critical stories? And the first one that pops into your head usually is probably the good one.
Sure. So in the vein of comparison and how that held me back, and, you know, I so when I started, okay, so actually I'm going to back up. So I have been an athlete all my life. I was a Division I soccer player for 4 years in college with a scholarship. I was really like tough and all of those things. But when I got out of college, I was sort of unsure how to continue my path being healthy, but I also wanted to compete. I also wanted to have a reason to be in shape, because I don't know, I guess when you're like 22, you just don't really think that being in shape is for your health. I didn't think that, at least, because I probably wouldn't have been so partying so much. But so as I continued of that path of like being unsure, like, what is my purpose? Working out, is it just to look good? I found some things like triathlons, and then I found bodybuilding, and I wanted to do a bikini competition. I know you're familiar with that world as well. And what I thought I wanted was a body like those who were competing in those competitions, with very, very little body fat and just a great bun and just a great, like, I really thought that that's what I wanted. I wanted to look like that. So sure, why wouldn't I should compete and I should go down that path that they did. And through the training, I realized what it took. And what it took for me was hours of cardio every week. It took constricting lots of carbs for me. And I love carbs. I love rice. I love all of these things. And I found myself doing things like having chicken breast and asparagus in plastic bags in my purse, and would have to nibble on those and sneak away instead of having dinner with my friends or my family. It even got to a point where I was carb cycling, so I was doing high carbs, low carbs, medium carbs, and my husband would be like, look at the calendar, and he'd be like, oh God, low carb day, I'm out of here. Like, I don't want to be around, because I was grouchy. And it's something that I've seen many of my friends do very successfully, and they're very well-rounded and balanced, and they live that lifestyle and have that exact body that I'm talking about. But what I realized was I was comparing my body to those who lived this lifestyle. And when I found that I experienced that lifestyle and decided for myself that it wasn't what I wanted, it wasn't as important to me as I thought, then why spend all of this energy and this judgment towards myself for not having the body that I think that I want, when I know for sure I am not willing to do what it takes to have that body? So I think that there is some value in knowing that there's a price for everything. And when we, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm comparing myself to the guy who has a yacht and a $5 million house and five businesses. Like bringing judgment to myself for not being that person. But then if you can say, but I am actually not willing to work 18 hours a day, 7 days a week like that guy, or I'm not willing to only to carb cycle all the time or to do that much cardio, and realize for yourself, like, what are you willing to do, and what are your goals for health, and why, like, what is your why? Of course, I know you talk about that too. Like, what is your why? Is it just because you want to look like these people? Is it just because you think that that's what you want to look like? And then just really coming to a place of, you know, what is the most important things to you, and what are you willing to do? And once I let go of the fact that, like, I don't actually want to live that way, meaning I don't actually need to look like that, meaning I can have love for myself and love for my life in a way that I'm proud of and in a way that works for my lifestyle and my family. So that helped me so much let go of this comparison to Instagram, to just, you know, like all of the magazines. And what's funny is once I let go of that and I came to a place of balance where now I really feel and have the mindset of I eat what I want. Of course, it's almost always healthy, but I want it and feel good about it. And I feel great about my body. And it's, you know, always a work in progress. And sometimes it's difficult because sometimes I'll go back to that place where my mind likes to go, which is to compare. But I can remind myself that this balance is what I actually want.
Yeah. You know, just to make you feel normal, the comparison aspect of our brain is actually one of four key components of what our brain does when it's idle. So it's actually a hardwired aspect of who every single one of us are. And knowing that, I have a Breaking Bad Habits e-course that talks about the different four different habits of the brain. And comparison is one of them. And to know that is simply just critical, just to know it. Just, oh, there my brain goes doing that comparison thing again. Yep. And knowing that it's not, you know, a good thing. Now, as we're growing up, we don't really know. We don't know this stuff. And, you know, I really hope that as research changes and as more research happens and as more people are aware, and that it will just really trickle into our schools and more can be taught to our children, because they are so, they're sponges and they're smarter than we give them credit for. You know, some of the things they're not going to be able to intellectually understand until later aspects of their life, because really true wisdom comes through experience. But teaching just different things that are really key, like that, hey, you know, let's do a little brain exercise. Let's watch what our brain does in this moment. And teaching them the different aspects of the brain is just so needed, because we don't know. You know, and we just, there's a lot of people out there who feel that their brain is, they're a little crazy, or they can't control it, or there's something wrong with them because their brain is always comparing. And so they literally get into this depressive mental state, when really, if they just knew that this was just one natural component of what is going on with their brain, then they could work on it. It's work. You know, I think I did it today. It was like an Instagram post or a Twitter post or something that said our thought system, controlling our thought system takes work. You have to do the work. You have to know, you got to really lean into it and do the work, because if we really truly think 60,000 thoughts a day, then alignment seems really important, doesn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Otherwise, you will go crazy. You know, you're like, holy smokes, my brain is everywhere. Why do I keep thinking the same thought? And what I notice for women is that we have this week where we're hormonal and
yes,
we get crazy. And like, literally, you can't really help it. It's like you're all over the place emotionally, you know, sensitive. You're very sensitive. You're thinking maybe not the best because you're overly sensitive. And being aware and knowing your cycle is so key for your own mental sanity.
Yes. And having patience for yourself, kindness for yourself, because sometimes it's like, why are you being so crazy? And then it's just like, oh, like, I don't have to be so hard on myself. It's okay. Because just cursing yourself for being a little cray, that doesn't help either.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So since I'm an avid book reader, I love to ask this question. What is your top two favorite books?
Top two favorite books. Search Inside Yourself by Ched Meng. And he is the EQ guy for Google. And he has created this program too of, it's basically how to approach emotional intelligence from a mindfulness standpoint. I love it. It's amazing. And he's so goofy and funny. And this is, it's just a really easy and fun book to read. I really love that one. The other is The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. It was a total life changer. Mm-hmm. But along with that is Power of Vulnerability, which is actually an audiobook and by Brené. But those two really have just, you know, I always felt like you said when you talked about how our brains do these certain things, but it's often that we think we're alone and we think that we're the only ones who are thinking these things. So when I read the Gifts of Imperfection, I felt so having my thoughts or my craziness or all of these things that I thought were just me and seeing it in words by a researcher was so empowering, knowing that I wasn't alone and that what the imperfection that I thought was such a bad thing was actually just a gift and being able to see it that way. So yeah, those are my two.
Awesome. Her work is incredible. So if you guys aren't out there, the listeners are not really up hip on Brené Brown or you don't know anything about her, check her work out. She is incredible.
Great reads. Watching her 15-minute TED Talk on shame will change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just start there. It's amazing.
Absolutely. So in one word, what is success to you?
Ooh. Wow, that's a good question. Success to me is, it's changed over the years. And my unhealthy self or my beginning before doing all this work would say, immediately I would say success is achievement. That is absolutely what I would say. And even now I still kind of want to say it, you know, like achievement, get things done, get results, get that certification or that business milestone or whatever. But what I realize is it's the pursuit, it's the journey. And so when I think of success, I find it as one's journey to fulfillment, one's journey to peace. That's what I see as success.
I love it. That's great. And what do you want your legacy to be?
I love that question. Because it drives me every day. Because when I think about what I want people to say at my funeral, it's that I made a difference, that people's lives are better because I existed. So I would just want my legacy to read like the Beyonce song. I was here.
I love it.
I wish we could just play it right now and just get really into it.
That's awesome. Very good. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Where can our listeners find you if they want to get in touch with you? And what are there any final things that you'd like to say today?
Just first, I acknowledge you for everything that you do, and I can't wait to have you on my show. And people can also, you know, if they want a little bit more of this work, but also in different areas such as relationships and career, my podcast is WTF Am I Doing With My Life? And they can search that or Kristy Arnett, KRISTYARNETT. And also that is the name of my website and all of my social handles. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
You're so welcome. I'm so happy that I did. I actually have listened to your podcast and I listened to the first couple and I was like, oh my gosh, she's funny. She's funny. I like it. She's real. She's really, in the beginning, I was like, oh my gosh, she's putting it out there. She's like really putting it out there.
Yeah. I'm all for it. Whatever people want to talk about, anything that happens in life, I'm down.
You know, honestly, it's the work, it's our lives. And we can hide behind this veil of pretend illusion, or we can show the world who we really are. We can show the world our truth. And for a long time, it took me a long time to get past sharing my stories. I actually, for about, I don't know, months and months, I had a post-it on my microwave in my kitchen. And the message said, it's not about you. It's about who your stories will serve.
Yes.
And yes, I just was like, I had to, before I could share, I had to really truly embody that inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I honor you because you are in it. You are doing the work. You have awaken.
And either way, I'm awake.
You're awake and you are walking the warrior's walk. So I honor you. And, you know, you've got a mighty companion by your side. So I'm happy that we are friends and we're talking.
Yes, thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, everyone, if you enjoyed today's show, please make sure to share it and let your friends know. And if you'd be so kind, please leave us a review in iTunes. We would love that. And thank you so much for listening today. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for spending your time with me today on the Figure Fit Lifestyle Coaching Podcast. I am incredibly grateful that you stopped by. If you could take just 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it and who can use it, I would be so incredibly grateful and honored. And I know that your friends will thank you too. Also, if you feel so moved, we would be incredibly grateful if you could go into iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. Leave us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you love. Tell us what you need more of. It would really help us out on our journey to help thousands and thousands of people reconnect back to their soul, live a life of health and happiness, and to love the body that they are in. Until then, don't forget that you are so worth your own self-love, self-care, and investment in your body, your goals, and your life. Thank you so much for tuning in today, everybody. Have a great day.